Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, is my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. Rob, it's been a minute. How the heck are you, bud?
I'm good, sir. I'm good, fellow listeners that are listening to our travails of FPL, either goodness or badness. I was going to put a good like SAT word in there, but goodness and badness covers everything. I'm doing good, man. Life is busy. You know, that's the problem with doing this on the side. You know, I'm not a full-time, you know, FPL writer anymore. I'm just a parochial talker and a general maintenance man. I'm basically Schneider from One Day at a Time with FPL tidings. But yeah, I'm good. Everything's good. My team in FPL is poop. But
is that a technical term?
No, it's because you know, you're like I said. I just literally said this to you off air. I'm a better advice giver about people because I could talk about specific players, not my own team. Because once you get your team locked in and you don't have the ability to wildcard, you're kind of locked into, you know, what you have in front of you. And what I have in front of me is pretty pooey. But I could tell everybody what I think on the vast player universe instead of the player universe that it consists of the 15 players I roster. So yeah. I mean, from that standpoint, I'm a trustworthy guy. So listen to me, but just don't don't look at my team.
Yeah, it's much easier to give you advice on which 11 players are going to be the best each week than it is season long. But
totes my goats.
Do you remember that commercial? I think it was James Earl Jones. Yeah, he was like reading text like a teenage girl, and he just ended it with "totes my goats," and it was fantastic. I was going to say rest in peace, but I actually think he's still alive.
I think he just did the voice for he's doing the voice for the new Lion King, so I think he's still alive.
Hold on. Sometimes we have to do research during the show. This is unfantasy related. Yeah, he is indeed 87 years young.
So anybody holding the James Earl Jones in the Deadpool, you're still holding out.
You know, I think James Earl Jones is like a low price forward option. Is a really solid play. He's got legs.
He's like the Isaac Success of the celebrity FPL crossover.
Oh goodness. So certainly the silliness hasn't gone anywhere from us. We do feel bad that we've been so inconsistent, but as we've said, we kind of knew this was coming. If you want to stick with us and you want to listen when we're around, that'd be great. Obviously, there are people that put out shows more frequently than we do at the moment. So if you want to abandon us and betray our trust and everything we've had together, that's fine.
We know where you live. That's all that matters. We know where you live.
But yeah, we will still be providing shows where we can, just no longer attempting to promise weekly
returns.
It's a
limited edition. It's a limited edition set now.
And it's more valuable because there's less of it, if I remember anything about supply and demand and economics on the whole. So because we didn't record last week, we missed all of the Hazard injury things after he was immediately brought in by everyone, with Salah being the most dropped player to make that move happen. Then obviously Hazard misses. Salah has basically his third best match since joining Liverpool last week against Cardiff. So curious as to your thoughts on what to do now. If you already have Hazard, should you try to stick? Are you thinking people should try to jump up the change to get back up to Salah? Where do you think people should land on this Hazard situation?
Well, owning Hazard is... I think if you own him, you probably own one of the Liverpool assets on top of him. I don't think that you're completely worried about owning or, you know, transferring out Hazard to get to a Liverpool asset. I think everybody in the know owned a Liverpool asset last week, whether it be Mane or Salah and Hazard. With Hazard, I think with the Crystal Palace at home this week, this will be the telling match for you if you're holding or selling. If he plays, you're obviously going to, you know, after this week, you're probably going to hold him. If he doesn't play, I could see a mass exodus of them just ditching out and getting another, you know, high-priced asset, whether it be Sterling or having belief in that, or grabbing another Liverpool asset based on their upcoming fixtures. But listen, Hazard is going to give you returns when he plays. Just when he's going to play is the hardest thing to predict. Back injuries are awful to predict. They tend to linger. They tend to pop up when at the last minute, because you can be perfectly fine all week and then go through warm-up, step on something wrong, and your back is flared up again. So, you know, Hazard with the exclamation point in the triangle is noteworthy because, you know, he is a high-priced asset and he has been giving ample returns for everybody who's owned him up until last week when he didn't play. But, you know, I'm a Hazard owner and I'm holding out for him for one more week, just because I like the juiciness of the Crystal Palace the fixture. And I think that based on the news that I've read so far, you know, he was very close to playing last week. He just didn't get fit in time. You know, it's like the NFL injury report. You know, he went through warmups and just couldn't go. So with him sitting midweek against Derby today, actually, as of recording, he's not going to be playing in that game. So there's no worry about him playing midweek. I think he should be full bore for the weekend. But once again, I'm not an injury analyst. Go check out Ben Dinnery on Twitter. He'll have a better, explanation of when he'll play and if he'll play. But yeah, I mean, if you're a Hazard owner, you're probably holding on the up chance that he actually plays, because the returns from him compared to, you know, the Liverpool guys are equal. And after that, you're probably not going to, you know, find an equal or a value at the 11.0 price tag. You know, Sterling is the same price, but, you know, where are you going to find another high-priced asset that's going to give you the returns that Hazard has given? It's not very often. So you're probably going to be punting and moving around pieces a lot to get one piece or two pieces.
Yeah, especially glad that you brought up the match that's about to happen, because we are recording this actually before the Wednesday matches in the Carabao Cup. So if there's anything that's a little wonky, that is probably why. Regarding Hazard, if people just look at the defensive ranks that are listed on the site, they may be looking at it like, yes, Crystal Palace is good, but then the rest of them are bad. But for Everton, Seamus Coleman has looked really poor over the last few weeks. At Tottenham, Trippier's number one issue is players with pace. So having him up against Hazard doesn't seem a great matchup. Fulham's rotating cast at right back of like Fosu Mensah, Callum Chambers was not very good there a couple weeks back. That's not a problem. Against Wolves, you have Matt Doherty, who fantasy players love, but they love him because he's basically a winger. Yeah. He isn't really staying back much. So if you look over those next five, I think it's very favorable for Hazard. And like even longer term, City obviously a rough one because they have two wing backs that can actually keep up. But then Brighton, Leicester, Watford, Palace, Southampton, Newcastle, and that takes you into the middle of January. I mean, this could be a very, very high scoring run for Hazard. Which leads me to a question for you. So Hazard's best goal tally was the 16-17 season. He had 16. Highest FPL points, 14-15 with 233. Do you think, obviously his pace is way above that right now, do you think he will best either that 16-17 tally in goals or 14-50 tally in points?
I think he probably will come. I think that I'm looking at the 233 number. So, I mean, he played the most minutes there, 33-73. He's currently sitting on 75. He has the Devil's best friend, 666 minutes played this year. So basically he's on pace for, we're in week 11, 70, where he's basically on pace for like 260 points, basically, give or take, because you can times it. Yeah, like 260, we'll call it, because there's seven extra games. And basically going to be right around that 3,400 to 3,500 minutes played. So I think he's going to eclipse the total points. I think he's going to have more bonus points than he probably has ever had in a season for the whole year. But that remains to be seen, because who knows if he's, you know, this is all speculation. I'm just saying that he probably will, but 233 is probably a good bet, low, like a low ceiling to aim for. He's probably going to, I would say his ceiling is 250. His baseline is 230. So he's probably going to fall somewhere in there. And then when you look based on what, you know, Salah did last year, he eclipsed 300. He was over 300. Yeah. So, you know, for the price standpoint and what he's going to return over those, you know, the remaining 27 games or 28 games, you know, there could be stuff. There's meat on the bone, as I always like to say. So you're definitely investing in him at 11.0. So, you know, to get that kind of return at 11.0 is great, because at his price tag, you can't always afford to have someone who is 11.0. You always have to make the decisions to, you know, have the weighted, you know, forwards, the Canes, the Agüeros, and then the high-priced options in the midfield, the Sterlings, Salahs, Manes. You know, now with Kevin De Bruyne back, he comes back into the fray. So if you own him all year, you'll probably reap the benefits of that 250, 230, you know, ratio that I said he'd probably fall into. But if you don't own him all year, you're probably going to miss out on being on the high point of when he does actually do things, whereas you're shifting off him to other guys. So, I mean, Hazard for me is pretty much if you can piece together a lineup where you have him and assets from other teams that are, you know, basically giving you good returns, you hit on the right Liverpool guy, you hit on the right City guy, maybe you have the right Spurs guy, and then you have the best of the lower ranked guys, you know, lower price guys. I think you could probably go the whole season with owning Hazard. You just mentioned his schedule. You know, there's only two fixtures in there that really are scary to me. It's Spurs and City, basically through Christmas. So yeah. I mean, having that 11.0 price tag, I don't know where you're going to go and argue that you're going to get better returns than if and when Hazard plays.
Yeah. I mean, Salah also has a very good run of fixtures. I just don't know, without going three budget forwards, if you could really field a decent team with both Hazard and Salah in it. But we may touch on that later. As for what he's currently projected, I just did some little quick maths while you were talking, and he would be projected for about 27 goals and 11 assists if Hazard kept up his current pace. I don't think either of us think that that's likely. The 11 assists, obviously, more likely than the 26 goals. But he will end up being a very premium player through the rest of the year. And I will say, as I believe the last holdout on Hazard until last week, or 2 weeks ago maybe? 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I'm now over it. I had mentioned on the show many times, I felt like I had never been burned by not owning Hazard. And I think that's the big thing that's really changed this season. All right, next up, let's talk forwards a little bit. We just mentioned how hard it is to get all of the premium players into your team right now. What have you made of Sergio Aguero, and how many elite/premium-priced strikers do you think people should have in their teams right now?
I mean, there's no wrong argument here. You know, I could see the frustration building in the Twitter universe of FPL of, you know, when Aguero's on and he scores, he comes off in the 60th minute because, you know, they're probably up by a few goals and they don't really need him anymore. Or go back to last week, he played, I think, right around 80 minutes or, you know, 77 minutes, and then De Bruyne came on for him and he didn't get any returns. So, you know, you're basically arguing against yourself. Well, if he scores and he only gets 60 minutes, or does he play longer and doesn't get any score, but is he worth the price tag? And then you compare it to what's going on with the forward situation and the scores that they're returning. You know, Aubameyang is the highest scoring forward right now at 63. Oh, he's tied with Wilson at 63 points. But Kevin, name me the last time Aubameyang started a game.
Last week.
Well, I mean, before that.
But yeah, he had been used as a sub a lot, and I don't think that's immediately gone. I did bring in Aubameyang myself because I was confident he was going to play and score, and then he obviously did. But this Lacazette versus Aubameyang thing, I think, is detrimental to them both, unless they can figure out a way to always play them as a pair up front and see what they can do. Because Lacazette has flashed a surprising amount of creativity this year. Like, if that duo got going, I think it could increase both of their value, a la the stereotypical New Orleans Saints running backs from years back. Mm-hmm. But for now, it's, yeah. But I do like Aubameyang. Of the three, of the big three, Aubameyang, Aguero, or Kane, I think I'd actually lean Aubameyang.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you, but I just worry about his inconsistent starting minutes. That's the only thing. Because
totally fair.
You see the two non-starts before this week where he scored again, and you're like, well, how can I trust a guy who's 10.9, you know,
And not know he's playing at least half 60 minutes.
Owned in 15% of leagues currently. but, you know, like the whole forward ranks is basically it's like a choose your poison here. You got Aubameyang at 10.9. You have Kane at 12.4. You have Aguero at 11.3. Kane sitting on 49 points. Aguero sitting on 60. Aubameyang sitting on 63, like I said. The best returns right now are the cheapest guys. You know, you have Wilson sitting at 63. You have Mitrovic sitting at 1 point below Kane at 6.9. The only bad thing that, you know, Alexander Mitrovic has going for him is that he doesn't actually get to play against his own team because they suck. And he probably scored tons against
them. It is unfortunate that he can't play against Fulham.
If he would play against, like, oh, I can't wait for Mitrovic to score against Fulham. And you're like, oh, man, he can't.
He could score own goals.
Yeah, but they count for the wrong way, man. That's not fair.
Those are negative points. Hold on, I don't want that.
But I could honestly argue, you know, based on the average point return and the whole points per million. I didn't do the research right now. I'm just looking at it right now. But when you look at the midfielders' highest scoring, the top three, it's Hazard, Salah, Mane. 1, 2, 3, 75, 65, 63, respectively, for those three. Then you go down to the forwards. And it's 63, 63, 60, Aubameyang, Wilson, Aguero, respectively. So when you average out those prices, you know, the top three of the forwards is right around 10 because Wilson's price brings everything down, whereas the midfielder ranks is above 10 because you have Salah 13, Hazard at 11.3, and Mane basically right on the precipice of 10 at 9.7. So they're basically right around almost 11 plus. So, I mean, if you're looking at dollar values for that, I mean, I could see you punting down on forwards, rostering a Wilson, a Mitrovic, and whoever you want to fill icing success.
Three.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you ever consider going three small forwards and going like Murray and then those two, or one of Zaha or Arnautovic once they get going again?
I mean, I don't see what's the main difference between Murray and Harry Kane right now? Besides $6 million.
Or Murray and Aguero. They have the exact same amount of goals thus far, right?
Yeah, it's just that Aguero has more assists and more bonus points. Right. And the only thing with Murray
is like half the price, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Literally almost half the price. But yeah, I mean, if you wanted to grab three lower level, you know, strikers, Wilson, Mitrovic,
Arnautovic, Murray. De Bruyne is healthy now.
Yes.
So if I don't know if you remember, this was my strategy at the start of the year, was I was piling up on the highest creative midfielders. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this year has weirdly shifted out wide. It's the wingers, it's the wingbacks that are really racking up all the points. But if you wanted to go, you could literally pay forward prices in your midfield and midfield prices in your forward. If you went with three of those five or six guys we just mentioned and then went Salah, Hazard, De Bruyne in your midfield.
Oh, 100%. You know, the funny thing about Man City is, you know, they have, you know, they're scoring. They're not actually scoring a ton of goals and blowing people out. You know, they're winning the 3-0, 2-0 games. You know, they've only let up three goals the entire year. So their scoring is a little bit skewed. Yes, they have, you know, they have 27, 28 goals on the season. I don't have it right in front of me.
Yeah, I think they're still top in that and goal difference. But
when you think about it, you know, we're in game 11. That's only two plus goals a game. So they're not blowing the world apart.
And
with
they're
goals,
way spread out right now.
Yeah. I mean, Harry Here's their goal scorers right now. Aguero 6, Mahrez with 4, Sterling with 4, Bernardo Silva with 3, Sané, David Silva with 2, and they have 4 or 5 guys with 1, and they're all defenders in Fernandinho. So they're not beating the world down. So I mean, going back to your original question, you know, is owning a high price striker right now, especially Sergio Aguero, like a must? Absolutely not. He's only sitting on 6 goals. Yes, he's getting a lot of assists and bonus points to aid him to get to his 60 points. But I mean, when you look at it, if you could play, you know, devil's advocate with the forward ranks and use your one transfer every week and hit on the right guy and have that optimal striker with the best matchup every week. So this week it would probably be Aguero this week.
Yeah, against Southampton. Which is why it's funny that we're talking about this right now, but agreed.
You know, and then next week you look at it and you go, okay, then maybe next week it's Aubameyang because they're playing home to Wolves. You know, and you basically use your one transfer every week, bring in a high price forward, keep the 2 low price strikers, and basically set up your midfield with Hazard, a Liverpool asset, you know, and then 3 other guys, whoever you want, in the 6.0 to 9.0 range that you could fit in there, depending on how heavy you want to go to your defense. Because you're basically going to play 3 strikers if you're believing in the low price options here. Because if you're going to buy a low price option, hoping that they score, you're pretty much going to play them over, you know, your 4th or 5th defender or your 5th midfielder.
Yeah, agreed. But it does bear noting that in all fantasy stats, you're looking at things that have happened.
Oh, totally.
Because if you're looking at a player's scored stats or the strength of his opponent, you're looking at the matches that have already happened, not the ones in the future, because we don't know what's happening yet. So all projections are based in history is where I'm going with this. If you look at Callum Wilson's fixture list, I know everybody's very high on him right now. He has succeeded in his easy matches. That's not to say he won't succeed in his difficult matches, but most of the easy matches for the first half are in the rear view for him. The coming matches of United, Newcastle, who despite being crap, don't concede a lot of goals, Arsenal, City, Huddersfield, who can at least play in the midfield, but they do let up goals at the back, Liverpool, Wolves, Brighton, Tottenham, United, that's through the new year.
That's a bad schedule.
It is not good. Now, you can entirely argue that at 6.6, that doesn't matter, that he'll still pop up with the odd goals. We could also consider that because he's not that old of a forward, this is genuine development, and he'll be able to score against these big clubs because he's legitimately this good now, both creatively and goal scoring, because obviously that's his biggest asset, is that he leads the league in assists. But just for people to know, there's probably a lot of people talking about Callum Wilson and how great he is because of what he's done. Just a heads up that he probably did a lot of what he did because of the people that he did it against.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. And 2 of his assists are penalty kicks. So look, don't forget that. Yep. So two of his 7 assists are because he got fouled.
Do we know if those came when Josh King was off the pitch or not?
I know Stanislas took 1. Mm. So I don't know who. I think Josh King actually took the other.
I think I remember that. I think I remember King taking 1.
I think it was in a game where they were winning. I think it was against Watford when they were winning 3-0, and I think that was the 4th goal. But I could be mistaken. But anyway.
Yeah. Well.
I mean, look at the teams he scored against. He scored against Cardiff, West Ham, and Watford, and Fulham.
Yeah.
All 4 of those teams are bottom 10 in defense. I'm giving Watford the benefit of the doubt because they're the only one I don't know. But
I think they are actually top 10 now. Weirdly, because they have like no talent at the back. But whatever. I realize that's very rude. And apologies to Messina, who scored at the weekend, but much like Sergio Ramos, scoring goals does not make you a good defender. You mentioned earlier fitting in the kind of lower-priced midfielders, so I figure we'll jump the order a little bit and address that. I just wanted to play a little either-or with you, with some of the midfielders in that like 6 to 7.5 range, and just see if we can narrow down on who we think is the best one. We'll start with Ryan Fraser just because we were already talking Bournemouth and how difficult their matches get, but he is listed at only 6.1. A lot of people have him a lot cheaper than that. Would you rather have Ryan Fraser or Roberto Pereira?
Based on Bournemouth's upcoming schedule, I'd probably have Pereira, But what I've noticed about Pereira is, hold on, I'm going to just double check maybe, make sure I'm not a liar. Yeah, if Roberto Pereira is a far better player at home. So based on the upcoming fixtures, you could probably own both because they're basically, you know, budget options, 6.1, currently 6.4, currently for Pereira. You know, with Pereira, he's got two away games, then Liverpool at home, then Leicester away. Yeah, I'd probably lean Frazier probably till Hanukkah.
Fair enough. Then staying in that price bracket, since you picked Pereira over Frazier, we'll build up like that. Pereira or Gudmundsson, who actually has the same amount of assists as Frazier and has the same amount of chances created as well.
Yeah, I just don't – Burnley's the team that I feel like Watford is a we're right. You said we're keeping Pereira in this with us. Okay, yeah. Watford to me scores more in bunches than Burnley will, and I think Pereira has a better ability to be on the end of them more often than Gudmundsson has to be on the helping end of it. You know, he's got a goal and five assists. Pereira's got five goals and I believe no assists. I don't think he actually has an assist. Just on goal reliance on a team, I'd pick Pereira over Gudmundsson, even though Gudmundsson has better fixtures upcoming.
All right, so Pereira is still the reigning champ. I assume you'd also want Pereira over Schürrle.
Yeah, only because Fulham is just so topsy-turvy and they just give up so many goals. They're always chasing the rabbit.
We actually had a Fulham guest on the EPL roundtable this week, and he was saying that in order to try to fix the defense, they really mess with their tactics to try to fix things at the back, which A, hasn't worked, and has also B, impacted their attack. So
yeah,
I mean, fully agree with you there.
Never trust a team that starts Tim Ream.
So. Hey, that rhymes. That should be a t-shirt. Okay, so now we'll bump up in price a little bit now. Would you rather have Roberto Pereira or one-time fantasy darling James Maddison, who's gone a little cold of late in fantasy stats, but on the whole still playing fairly well?
I was actually looking at this before we were doing research, and people who are selling James Maddison right now, they obviously aren't looking at his upcoming schedule. Cardiff, Burnley, Brighton, Watford, Fulham in his next five. Leicester, and this goes out to all the Leicester fans, my sympathies for losing your owner. But this team is going to come out and probably with some spitfire, especially, you know, against Cardiff, who is not anything known for defense. And basically everybody's been stacking against Cardiff all year. You know, they did it against when they played Liverpool. They did it when City played them, and they've got ample returns. I think Leicester can be, you know, good for the next five games. Are they a fantasy asset? Probably not overbearing or overwhelmingly, but at 7.0, you're probably best advised to like hold on to Maddison, because I think there's stuff to come there. And then even after those five games listed, it's Spurs and Chelsea and Man City in the next three out of the next four after the five I did. So basically, you're gonna have to wait till, you know, basically pre-Christmas to make that decision if you wanted to hold on to him, because you're probably gonna only gain there. Because if he does anything in those five games, he's gonna go up in price. You probably bought James Maddison somewhere closer to where he started at 6.5. So you're probably just reaping the benefits of that. And after that five-game period, if he doesn't return anything, you're not really losing anything, because he's not really going to go down enough, because his ownership isn't going to spike like to be detrimental to your buy-in cost. So it's definitely Maddison for me for the next five over any – basically anybody from the 7.0 to 6.0 range, it's probably Maddison.
Interesting, because – Maddison versus a player that we liked in the preseason that's now a striker OOP, Maddison or Richarlison?
I'm not a huge fan of Richarlison. Okay. I think that he is what he is. He's not going to be that 20 goal scorer. I don't think he's built for the pivot. Based on what Everton have around him. Sure, he's the defunct pivot, because basically he has a ton of playmakers around him. If you're going to buy any Everton asset right now, I'd probably be leaning Sigurdsson. I know he's a dollar or, you know, 90 cents cheap, 90 cents more expensive, but he's got five goals and he's taking the penalties now. So
yeah. And that's where we were going to wrap, because you're picking Maddison over Charleston. Is Maddison over Sigurdsson? And thinking of Maddison as like a younger Sigurdsson is not the most inaccurate comp you could make. Sigurdsson currently exactly second in both chances created and accurate crosses, and has somewhat struggled with the finishing of the rest of his team, I wrote an article on him a couple weeks back, and it was basically along the lines of, it's a shame that Sigurdsson can't finish the own chances he's creating, because at the time he was leading them in shots on target and shot accuracy, but also led them in all creative stats.
Mm-hmm.
But he is playing very well centrally for Marco Silva. So Maddison or Sigurdsson?
I would probably take Sigurdsson only because I like that he's on penalties.
Yeah, which definitely gives him a boost. Also, Jamie Vardy has been like so close, but in the bad way recently.
Yeah, he's
even more uninvolved in play than he used to be.
Yeah,
like Jamie Vardy used to be uninvolved in play in like a good way, where when he got his chance, he'd score. But he's like missing those opportunities. I forget what his shot total is over the last like 2 or 3 weeks, but it's like horrible. Like he's really doing nothing until he does something, which in other games hurts him a lot more. But I think I trust the front four of Everton more than Leicester right now. Although I really like Iheanacho as a player. We've obviously seen what Vardy can do. Albrighton sending in crosses is always fun, but that almost detracts from Maddison more than it helps him. But I agree with you. I agreed with almost all of them, except the initial one. I think I would still take Fraser over Pereira. But let's move into budget defenders now. I know you wanted to get up on your soapbox a little bit about these budget guys.
Yeah. I mean, budget defenders, everybody's got to have them. Not everybody can roster, you know, the Mendy's, the Trippier's, the Alonso's, you know, and then insert, you know, Liverpool defense. It's great to have. You know, everybody should be owning a Man City defense. Kevin doesn't. I don't. We mocked each other in the preemptive to this podcast. But looking at defenders now, and based on what I see from the upcoming schedule, you know, there's budget defenders to be had. You know, people are still on the Matt Doherty, because he's giving returns, but his schedule is not too good upcoming. Wolves has, as of late, for that three-game stretch where everybody's like, wow, look at what Wolves is doing, and then the last two games where they've basically not given you anything return-wise, people are soured on Wolves. But now I want to look at, you know, we've mentioned Bournemouth and their upcoming schedule and how hard it is to maybe roster offensive players. So if it's hard to roster offensive players based on their opponents, it's almost going to be impossible to roster a Bournemouth defender. So basically, if you're looking at a Bournemouth defender in the upcoming, you know, couple weeks, I'd probably steer clear of that. But I'm mainly looking at one team here, Kevin, and that's probably Brighton. I know they're steered by what Ryan is doing in goal, and he's basically been standing on his head. But based on what they've been doing for their returns, let me click on their thing since I clicked on the wrong thing. But given their returns of Duffy, Bruno, Dunk, for the last couple games, do you think that there's any value in owning like a Brighton defender for their upcoming fixtures, Everton, Cardiff, Leicester, Huddersfield, Crystal Palace, Burnley, compared to what you're probably rostering otherwise? Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people aren't rostering budget defenders, but compared to what people have been using before, you know, the Wolves defenders like a Bennett, or is this basically what I'm saying is this a time to ship off your AWB, you know, bandwagon here?
Yeah, it's tough just because Wan-Bissaka is so cheap, but the returns haven't been there of late. The weird thing is that Palace's defense looks better than it is.
Totally.
Which is just really, really frustrating. But they have conceded two or more goals in three of the last five, which isn't great. It's just, how do you get rid of a player that's that cheap? I think the answer is maybe you just bench him. But a lot of people at the start of the season were going with two price dumps. And so a lot of people are stuck with that, which only really leaves space for one budget defender with one like mid-range defender, unless you have two, and then you're missing out on two of Mendy, Robertson, Alonso, or maybe even Trippier if you had him to throw him in as well.
You know, but look at what just happened this past week with the benching of Robertson, benching of Hazard. Now the third sub is coming into play here because not everybody is going to have, you know, the way they situate their team. That's basically two vital options.
You need to have a strong bench now.
You know, I mean, even looking at another team that I think that could be a decent return for defenders coming up is, we mentioned it before that now they are top 10 in defense, and they did get one of their better offensive defensive players back, and he did tally last week, and that's Kiko Firmino for Watford.
Yeah.
And, you know, back-to-back weeks of
two
clean sheets in a row for the Hornets. They got Newcastle, Southampton, Liverpool, Leicester in the next four. So, I mean, there's time that you can, you know, bring in a player, not just on a one-week basis, and possibly get returns. So look out for Watford and Brighton defenders if you're looking to shift things around in defense to free up funds to, you know, jump up to the next level in midfielder, or if you wanted to, you know, maybe, you know, go from Hazard to, you know, Salah. It gives you a little bit of fundage in that department. You know, budget defenders are always going to be around because, you know, it's tough rostering three big defenders and then filling in the midfield and having everybody you want to fill into the puzzle and owning a top-flight striker, depending on which one you want to do. But, you know, always looking to the head. And don't be afraid to look at a defender's schedule. Like, the schedule ahead is fine. But if they have one game where it's okay and then a bad week, I would steer clear and look for a better option when they have two or three better fixtures on the horizon.
Yeah, so that's definitely an interesting topic. And you need to get some of those mid guys in, you know, 1 to 3 probably. Now let's talk about a couple of breakout guys recently who are interesting but have track records of not mattering for large swaths of the season. Let's start with a boy on your very own team. We mentioned him a lot on the Premier League show at the weekend about how he was heavily criticized for his move to Chelsea, but seems to be turning it around. Scored in three consecutive matches in Ross Barkley. He also not starting consistently for Chelsea, although I think he's played in the last two starts, but he scored in the sub appearance, if memory serves.
Exactly.
What do you make of Ross Barkley here at 5.8? I think he did hit a price rise already.
Yeah, he did go up in price. Returns of 13, 6, and 17 in the last three games, currently sitting at 5.8. Now, given the way that Chelsea rotates through the middle, I think that he basically has overtaken Kovacic in their starting 11. Now that Loftus-Cheek is starting to get his legs back under him and start to be part of the team selection on Sundays, that's a guy that I would look out, because I think that they basically are fighting for the same spot. I think Loftus-Cheek is more of an offensive, like, because he's a freak. He's a big dude. He's a freak athlete. Whereas Barkley, we know what he is. He's kind of like that midfielder with flair. But Loftus-Cheek has been giving awesome returns in cup games and everything that we've seen of him. But Barkley scoring in three consecutive games is nothing to sneeze about, because when you look around, who else is, you know, getting the minutes and scoring the goals that he's currently doing? You know, Willian has one goal in his last three. He started all three. You know, that's not great. Pedro has basically just been thrown to the wayside, that you don't even really notice he's on the team anymore, because he's basically got 50 something minutes in the last three games, so he's basically not even a factor. Conte is a stalwart. Jorginho is a stalwart. So basically, you're on to – so Barkley, Kovacic, Loftus-Cheek are basically the three guys that are going to be fighting for minutes as that third midfielder behind Hazard, Willian, and whoever they start at striker, Giroud or what's-his-face, Morata.
what's his name? Not Diego Costa.
Yeah, not Diego. Why don't we have Diego Costa? But yeah, I mean, at 5.8, you want investments in the Chelsea attack. But how much after Hazard do you want to invest in? This is almost like, okay, I want another investment in Liverpool besides Mane and Salah. Who are you going to go to? You know, are you gonna trust that Lallana or somebody like that is going to give you returns?
Well, you might go to the defense or goalkeeper.
Yeah, well, I'm saying from a goal scoring standpoint, are you going to bring in Daniel Sturridge? You know, that's basically how I'm like equating it to. Yes, he scored in three straight games, but with the FA Cup games, the Europa games going on, Chelsea's going to rotate in there. But I think Barkley is the Premier League starter now. I think that Kovacic is probably going to see most of the Europa games, and then you'll probably get Loftus-Cheek mixed in with there and there. with the Caribou and the Europa games. So, yeah, I mean, if you have an opening in midfield and say your last midfielder is just a complete throwaway, I could see you making the move because you're not really buying three Chelsea defense. You're not rostering three Chelsea players right now. It's probably Hazard, Alonso, and then you automatically have a blank because there's no third Chelsea player you're rostering. And given the returns, Barkley could give you good returns. But, you know, based on their fixture list, you know, Palace, Everton, Spurs, Fulham, Wolves, you know, you got an international break in there in the middle as well. I probably wouldn't completely buy him too much. This is basically like a strategy move. If you're looking at your mini leagues here, or if you're in a draft format and he's sitting that on waiver wires, absolutely you should be on your team. But I'm not investing in him heavily to rely. I'd rather own, you know, if you throw him back into that either or we just did, I'd rather own Fraser or Pereira over him because I think I'd want the scoring opportunities from other teams rather than doubling him up with Hazard on a Chelsea team.
Yeah, makes sense. Although it does seem like there are plenty of goals to go around at Chelsea.
Oh, totally.
But I do see your point. It might not be him to get them. The other player that's like, oh, you're going to finally be good now is hyper-talented. Newly converted to winger, but that was like 3 years ago. Anthony Martial has still been playing on the left. Lukaku finally benched for doing nothing. And I don't mean he did nothing to get benched. I mean, he did nothing to show why he deserved to play up front for Manchester United. But it was Rashford that gets the start up front, but it doesn't matter because now Martial can just cut in from the left onto his right foot and curl it into any corner that he gosh darn pleases. Mm-hmm. Are we thinking that maybe Martial has at least A, solidified himself over Alexis Sanchez in the starting 11, and B, that he can keep up the scoring pace?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Alexis Sanchez. You know, he's injured, I'm using quotation fingers, or he's hurt Mourinho's feelings, I guess we'll say. But Martial looks, you know, if United needs goals, and he's basically fulfilling that need. He's basically taken over, you know, Lingard and anybody else who was a preseason target of anybody. Lukaku is just useless in fantasy right now. So, I mean, everybody wants a viable big four scoring option. You know, unfortunately, Martial is that option right now for United. And based on what people have seen of him in the past, I think that's why everybody's so hesitant to go to him. His price tag is amicable at 7.4. He's owned in less than 6% of leagues. He's basically got 30 points in the last three games, 37 points in the last three games. I mean, and he's only got 41 in the whole year. So basically he's giving you everything he's got in the last three games. So if you've owned Anthony Martial in the last 3 weeks, bravo. But looking at their schedule, are you trusting him for at Bournemouth and then at Man City? Maybe for one of those two, and then maybe you could buy back in, but would you not start him at Man City? Because basically if you bring in Martial, you're going to play him. I think that he's not an option that you bring in and then say, okay, I'm going to sit him against Man City. Then who's your substitute option to go into your midfield in lieu of him? So basically, if you bring in Martial, you're starting him regardless of opponent because you don't really care because you want the goals that he's going to score, not the opponent that he's going to score him against. And I just don't see it against Man City. Bournemouth, yes, I could see him putting on the score sheet because I think that game's going to have a lot of goals. But looking down the road, you sit on Man City. This goes back to what I said about defenders. If they have one good fixture, it's okay. But if they have one good, one bad, lean a different direction. So, I mean, this might lead me to like go to – I know Everton doesn't have the greatest two fixtures in a row because they have Chelsea next week. But, you know, that could lead you to like a Sigurdsson or, you know, Martial debate.
Yeah, I think I'd rather wait on Martial these couple of weeks to see if he can keep this up. But I recognize that might be the last 2 weeks that he does anything. But I think I'm just willing to be on the sidelines for this one unless he like really proves that, A, that is his job locked up. And as we mentioned in the intro to this little part, that he can keep up the scoring pace that he's on right now. And that's how you break up an ABC list that you already did in the show. Mm-hmm. all right. Anything else that we were going to talk about?
Nope. Just glad to be back on the air and have people listening to us.
Yeah.
Or yelling at us for not having a freaking podcast.
But they're right to. I'll say
they are. They are right. Listen, we have a direct obligation to the knowing public to bring. What was I going to say? To bring decent fantasy knowledge
when we can,
in an optimal amount of time, so they have time to listen to us, time to go to the pub and drink to these wankers that they're listening to, and then go fix their lineups.
There you go. Also, what was I going to say? No Fridays, right? In the coming weeks, we usually try to tell people about that. Yeah, nope. Long time. Okay, so yeah, just set your lineups either Friday nights or Saturday mornings. If you're in the States, do it before you go out Friday night. That just leads to a whole mess of problems.
No drunk transfers.
Yeah, don't drink at FPL.
Don't drink and transfer.
Exactly. All right, well then that will do it for us today. Rob, tell the folks where they can get at you.
Nowhere. You can find me nowhere because I'm nowhere. No, you can find me on Twitter. FPL_MNOP. Yes, it's a stupid alphabet thing because I'm making fun of everybody else who has every animal or surname of a famous footballer on their FPL account. And I've never called anybody out on it until just now, but you're a bunch of tools. you and your I'm going to have a mammal or an amphibian today or fix some, you know, phobic god as your whatever. Anyway, FPL_MNOP. I don't tweet much, but if I do, there's probably a good reason I'm joking and making fun of something.
Making fun of something is a bit of your MO. So sorry for all the shots fired at FPL animals out there. There should be an aggregate FPL animals Twitter that just retweets literally all of the people with FPL
animals. I want somebody to go on Twitter right now and try to change their change to an FPL whatever account and just think of any random animal they can. And I guarantee the first five you put in will be gone and taken. I guarantee that I haven't even searched it right now, but I guarantee like the first five I thought of was like hippo, giraffe, turtle. I guarantee they're all gone because these people just like to put FPL on anything and they're a bunch of droned out wankers.
Tell us how you really feel. Say it for the people.
You don't really want to because I'm keeping this PG 17.
Fair enough. Well, we'll escape with our lives while we can. As I mentioned, do have a couple of articles over up on ESPN, the Salah one, which I just mentioned, and then there is a Sigurdsson one from a couple weeks back, but I wrote it basically with more of a season-long perspective, and as we mentioned today, he still looks very, very good indeed. Also, be sure to check out our EPL and FPL roundtables, and I also do mostly Team of the Week articles, but stuff every once in a while still goes out through Goal Gaming. So if you want to see how that game works and everything like that, go check that out over there. Rob, it was very nice catching up with you and chatting and doing them FPL things. Folks at home, best of luck to your teams. We'll get you shows when we can, and we'll catch you next time whenever that is.
Peace.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.